Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this amazing recounting of the story of Jonah, how you dealt with him and how you were gracious to Nineveh and how you used and taught Jonah through this whole experience. And Father, may we learn also as you reprove us and might be useful in your hand as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jonah, for one, I thought was interesting that Creation Magazine, their cover for this quarterly issue that just came out today, was about whale sharks. And so they had some interesting articles on whale sharks and some pictures and this and that. And I'm not saying that Jonah was swallowed by a whale shark, but after seeing them, it makes it seem much more reasonable. They said whale sharks can get up to like 40 feet long and weigh 14 tons and this and that. They're just huge. Matter of fact, the guy that wrote the article went down and swam with the whale sharks in the Philippines. And he had video on YouTube that because the fishermen, it's a tourist industry. So the fishermen feed the whale sharks. And they take these little kayaks out there and go out there and the tourists, and you can snorkel out there with them. And they're huge creatures. And yes, they're sharks. And yes, they have teeth. But they're totally benevolent to men. They don't care. They watch you. They see you. But they're not harmful at all. But they're huge. You know, a diver just looks tiny. This thing's 40 feet long. You know, the ones they normally see were, you know, 20 or 30 feet long. But they're just all over. They're just huge. That was said, he was impressed after swimming, they were just humongous. So that God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah is not that unreasonable. And so I just thought that was interesting. But now, Jonah, I mean, we think about the story, you know, it comes off, God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh. Well, he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He hates Nineveh. He has no sympathy for them. And so he runs away from God, gets on a ship, heads out as far away as he can get. God sends a storm where they finally have to throw him overboard, so he thinks he's going to die. But then God sends this great fish to swallow him up, save his life, bring him back to land, spit him out. And then this time when God sends him to go to Nineveh, he decides he'll do it. And so he goes and he gets there and he preaches, apparently just not much. He says, prepare yourselves because God's going to destroy this place in 40 days. Does that, and then he walks off. they repent. The whole city repents. The king repents. They all change their ways. It's sackcloth and ashes. They quit doing their violence and their sin and this and that. And God spares them. And you would think that would have been called the first great awakening. You know, mighty revival. I mean, any evangelist would be happy with that one. You know, it's like, oh, a whole city, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe over a million. And they repent and turn back. They're an enemy, a danger to Israel. Now they're not. God was merciful to all these people. You think, wow, we had a big revival. And what does it say? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. It's like, well, whoop-de-too, you know. What does it take to make you happy, Jonah? Okay. I mean, this is just incredible. And Jonah's mad about it. Because Jonah doesn't like the people from Nineveh, and he doesn't want God to spare them. Okay, it wasn't because Jonah loved them so much. You know, this was not friendship evangelism. Okay, Jonah didn't go and make friends and start coffee meetings and invite everybody over and get to know them and get friends with them. And forget it. He just said, God's going to judge you for your sin. And they repented. And Jonah's mad about it. So he was very angry. And he prays. Okay, well, good. He prays. But what he prays is to lecture God about all his mistakes he's making. Okay? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? He said, I told you so. See, I shouldn't have come here. I told you I shouldn't come here because I knew you'd forgive him. I knew it. So, you know, God, you don't know what you're doing. You know, these are awful Gentiles, horrible people. And you go around sparing them. You're just like that. You know, you're soft-hearted, and I knew you'd do this. And he said, when I was yet in my country, see, I told you so, therefore I fled. Now he's justifying himself. Well, I fled because I knew you'd mess things up like this. And I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Well, that's when somebody doesn't see the evil in themselves. Aren't you glad God is a gracious God and merciful and repents? We need to get that first, that we are the first beneficiaries of his mercy. But he didn't want God's mercy. And that's the way the Jews are. They want God to bless the Jews, but they don't care about the rest. I mean, Paul, when the mob got angry and the Roman soldiers had to rescue him, it's because he said he'd been preaching to Gentiles. I mean, they were mad at him and this and that, but when he said he'd been preaching to Gentiles, that was it. They were going to tear him limb from limb. That's just unacceptable. And Jonah was definitely of that school. It's like, you, God, you made me preach to these Gentiles, and I told you it would turn out bad because look at this. You wind up forgiving them. I knew you'd do it. I knew it happened. He said, you let them off, and he's angry about it. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Okay? He's threatening suicide, but it's a threat. You know, it's like suicide is the most selfish thing you can do. Okay, harms others. You know, you, if you're successful at it, you're out of your earthly misery. You may be in an eternal misery, but it causes harm to many others. And so he's just kind of threatening God. See, you mess this up so bad. Why don't you just kill me and get it over with? Okay, he's a spoiled brat, isn't he? Okay, you'd think after the whale bit, he would kind of, God saved his life once and brought him back. You'd think he'd kind of, but apparently still holding a grudge about that. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? It's like, come on, Jonah, think about it. Are you right to be angry at me for this? So Jonah went out of the city. So he stomps out of the city. He goes to a hillside overlooking the city and pouts. And he sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. So he made him a little shelter. He took some limbs and whatever and made him a little lean-to or shelter there. And he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So he's hoping. It's like, well, maybe their repentance wasn't sincere. You know, maybe they'll go right back to their evil. And if I just sit here and wait a while, maybe God will change his mind and just wipe them out, you know, do something to cheer me up. And so he's sitting on the hillside overlooking the city, just watching and waiting to see. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head, delivering from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. So he's sitting here in his little lean-to, but it's not too great. It's hot and he's miserable. So God makes this gourd with its great big leaves to grow up over him. And he's like, oh, that's nice. I got some shade, you know. He's really enjoying what God provided for him. And God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Job could say, blessed be the name of the Lord. But Jonah's still unhappy. He's still complaining. So God made this gourd to teach him a lesson, and then he took it away. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Again, you know, just kill me. Just kill me. Just get it over with. And it's like, what's all this? You're talking about God being complaining about God being a merciful God? It's like, well, now's a good time to ask for some of it. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which y'all did not labor, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh? It's like a plant versus a million people. You know, which is more important? You care more about that plant than you care about all these people. Wherein are more than 60,000, okay, scores 20, so 60 is 120, so 120,000 that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. I take that to mean you're talking about the little ones that hadn't learned right and left yet. Okay, so there's 120,000 children, there's a lot of people there. And also much cattle. It's like all these people, you think I should just judge and wipe them all out. Men, women, children, cattle, everything. That's what you're asking. So Jonah just hasn't really caught on here. Okay, here God does an incredible miracle, one of the greatest revivals of all history, spares hundreds of thousands of people for several generations after that, and Jonah's just pouting and griping because God was merciful to these people that he didn't think deserved to live. Well, you know, sometimes we get that way. You know, we think, God, why do you let this go on? You know, I see people that have rejected God and doing evil, and you think, why does God let them live? Well, God is a merciful God. And matter of fact, God even forgives people like that. Anybody that's still alive is not beyond God's forgiveness. Okay? Jeffrey Dahmer, horrible murderer, unbelievable, unrepentant murderer. He said himself, he's like, well, if evolution's true and we're just up from the slime, then life has no meaning. We're not ultimately accountable to anybody. So what difference does it make what I do? So he decided he would just kill people, torture people, eat people, whatever. But after he got to prison, apparently he got saved. And then another prisoner murdered him. So, but even Jeffrey Dahmer was not beyond God's mercy. You think, why forgive him? It's like, well, because God is a gracious God and full of mercy. And we need to love people as much as God does. I mean, God judges, but, you know, God decided it wasn't time to judge Nineveh. It was time to forgive, and he did. And we let God run that judgment. So, incredible story of miracles, incredible story of God's mercy, but a stubborn prophet. And he was, you know, he was a prophet. He'd been a prophet in Israel, and this and that, but it was too much, and he just couldn't forgive. So, hopefully, after the gourd bit, hopefully he learned his lesson, came back home and went from there. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for Jonah. We thank you for your mercy and grace for all of us benefit from that. And Father, we just pray that you'd be merciful to us and also merciful among the people of the nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.